Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to a brand new episode here at Gamertag Radio. This is a pretty good episode here. This is your host, Danny Pena. And also joining me for this episode of GTR, we have Rihanna Manuel Pena.
Hello out there. I am so excited for this episode and for this conversation. Danny, you got to talk about one of my favorite games and series of all time.
Yes, I actually got invited to a secret hands-on event, thanks to Activision, also Infinity Ward. I went to the studio, and I got to play the new Call of Duty game. Brand new game coming out later this year. So I'm very excited to talk about this for you. Very excited.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I could mention the modes. There's one mode where I can't give no details yet. In the future, I will. But I could mention the name, but that's about it. All right. So this Call of Duty takes place in South Korea, Ree.
Okay.
A brand new location. They've never been there before. This is, a pretty good location. You know, because also North Korea is there, close to Russia. Like, it's a good location. We got to see a little bit about the campaign of this. I think I'm going to let you guys see the trailer of that and everything. But it looks really, really good. Graphically looks really, really good. One of the questions that I did ask to the dev team, you know, because sometimes when you play multiplayer and you play single player, it feels different, like the way how you play, the movement. And they're trying, so far, it looks like it's going to be very close to, like, the way how you play multiplayer is going to be similar to single player. And the reason why I asked that question, because sometimes you start and play the campaign, and then when you go to the multiplayer, you're like, wait, you're off because you're so used to the way how you got to play single player. So I think that's really good that they're gonna keep it as the same as possible when it comes to, like, the movements, the way how you shoot and everything. So that's really good. Your thoughts about that before I continue.
My thoughts about that are that it's obviously a great choice. Anytime you can make something more consistent for players, I think that's a win, especially if you're trying to introduce more people from one preferred style of play or genre or game mode to another, right? Like, if you got people who only want to play single player, which, you know, there is a lot of them, and you want to get to try out some more multiplayer modes, it's great that it makes it more of a seamless transition. And I do like that in the previous iteration of Call of Duty, we got a lot of crossover between the different modes. And I'm glad to see that continue now that Infinity Ward is stepping in.
The developer, when I talked to them, they said the goal is for the single player experience to act as a gearing up in training, which is good. You get used to it. And now when you go and play multiplayer, you're good. You don't have to be like freaking out like, oh, man, now I have to learn the way I play multiplayer. No, you're just practicing until you go to the multiplayer and so on. So I also asked them, because this game is also coming out Nintendo Switch 2 for the first time since 2013. So I believe Black Ops 2 was in 2012 and Call of Duty Ghosts was also on the Wii U 2013. They both flopped, especially Ghosts on the Wii U. It flopped big time. So there hasn't been no Call of Duty on that console, just a Nintendo console, for a very long time. I'm excited because now the community is going to grow even more. It's not just Xbox, PlayStation 5, and PC players, but now the Nintendo audience is going to go and play. Now, one of the questions that I did ask, this is a very, very important question, because look, when you play a game like Cyberpunk, Final Fantasy Remake, and so on, those files are pretty huge. Very, very big. I ask, is it possible for me or anybody that has a Nintendo Switch 2 to select what is it that they want to download. You could do that on PC and you could do that on consoles, but can they do that on Nintendo Switch 2? Because I know that file is going to be really big and it's going to take a lot of space, right? So they couldn't really answer that question because they're like, oh, we're still trying to figure out, still in the early stages, you know, on that. But they're confident that's going to be a very smooth experience when you play the Switch 2 version versus other consoles when you play against each other online. It has crossplay and everything there. So it's going to be a very smooth, smooth experience. I know they did work with a studio called Beenox. And that one is more for like the, for PC, above PC settings. So like, for example, one of the questions that we talked about was like, because the way how you play is a little bit slower compared to the previous game, right? How's that going to feel when it's like mouse and keyboard versus controller? Is it a big, huge difference? Is it faster? Like, so that's something that they been trying to figure it out and have it as close as possible when it comes to the mouse and keyboard and also controller. Mm-hmm. They worked
and
with
for,
this.
For those who aren't familiar with Beenox, they've helped co-develop Call of Duties before, and especially mm-hmm. with those other platforms and ensuring that everything is seamless. They've helped us all the way back. Let me see. They helped all the way back in 2009 with my favorite Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, ooh, which we can talk about in a second. But mm-hmm, they've also helped out as recently as 2023 with adaptations of Modern Warfare 3. So
yeah. What are your thoughts about that, Bree? Like the things so far that I've been mentioning about the game and so on.
Yeah, I really like hearing, and you mentioned it very briefly, but I want to talk more about it because you kind of like blasted through so much information there.
Sorry. So, go ahead.
It's okay. Like slowing down for just a second, talking about the movement, slowing down and being a little bit more grounded and keeping in mind you need to have good cohesion and parity between mouse and keyboard experience versus playing on a controller or an accessibility controller. Mm-hmm. You have so many different ways people are playing today, including on something as small as a Switch, right? That's a lot of information on a very small screen. Let's uh-huh. face it, most people are playing in handheld mode. And a lot more handhelds out there, right? And aside from the 20 million Nintendo Switch 2s that are forecasted to be out by the time this game releases, you know, you have a lot of people playing a lot of different ways. And I think slowing the action down really helps ground the game and give everybody a reset in how they can actually engage with this, especially at a casually competitive level, right? Like you and I play with a group of friends and, you know, we are constantly getting owned in matchmaking once a game has been out for a little longer because, you know, the really high level players have really, really kind of hijacked the meta. And matchmaking is still pretty good. But mm-hmm. when you have systems like Omni Movement, there becomes a whole nother level of ability that like we aren't really comfortable with or we're not competitive with. And it makes it tough to go from, you know, older gamers maybe who want to have a great single player experience, which we know Infinity Ward is excellent at doing, calling back to Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 and the amazing story with Price and Soap and, oh my God, missions like No Russian that just kind of blow your mind, right? Like to go back from that really cinematic and strong narrative experience that Infinity Ward is great at doing, and especially under the leadership of the late and great Vince Zampella. They're continuing that legacy now and offering it to more people who maybe haven't played a Call of Duty in a long time. I know a lot of folks are turned off with the recent Black Ops 6 and 7. And I'm glad to see, you know, Infinity Ward getting another turn at bat. Like we are used to having sort of like Sledgehammer, Treyarch, Infinity Ward kind of cycle through their turns every year with Call of Duty. And it's been a while since we got an Infinity Ward at the lead. Mm-hmm. And it's beyond time to really take it back to its roots with, you know, the folks who created this series. For the kids out there who don't know their history, Call of Duty started with Infinity Ward and mm-hmm. has grown to include all of these incredible studios because it's so big. It needs a lot of people working on it. But these are really the originators, and they know better than anybody anybody what makes Call of Duty special. And mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see expanding to the widest audience on day one, including Nintendo audiences, with all of these things in mind, making it something that everybody can enjoy no matter how they're playing it. And, you know, it's the folks who really brought it to us to begin with. So it's like, allow me to reintroduce myself, right? Like, it really feels like the moment for Call of Duty to reemerge with, you know, maybe some new fans and some new lifetime fans like me that can pick up along the way. And I'm really glad to hear that they're working on crossplay and especially cross save. I'm probably going to buy this game more than once. Like, I'm probably going to get it on a couple platforms because I'm going to play at home. We're going to be traveling a lot, especially this year and many years in the future. And yeah, I'm going to want it on a handheld. And sometimes the Switch 2 is the one that comes, not the Ally. So I think it's a really smart choice. I think they're making all the right moves here. But Danny, I really want to hear more about whatever you can give us on the campaign. That's really like the
juicy. Oh, the campaign. There's four characters that you're going to get to see in the game that starts in South Korea. There's an attack, right? Where...
And what time period is this?
I can't remember the time period. That part I can't remember. But I know once that happens, you see some chaos happen. I think you would probably get to see in the trailer.
Okay.
It's very chaotic. And then you go back 4 days before on what actually happened, and Price pops up.
Oh, I love it when the OCs show up.
That's all I will say. I'll keep it as that. But it looks like a very interesting story. Like it caught my attention. I'm like, I need to learn more about this, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get to play it. But here's the thing that I forgot to mention to you, Rhea, a couple of things. Cause I like the campaign and everything, but what's important to me, look, the majority of the time we're going to be playing multiplayer, right? So,
of course,
I want to know what are the new things that we're going to get to do in this in multiplayer, like the way how we play and so on. And there's a couple of things that I'm like, yo, that is really, really cool. One of them is, you know, sometimes when you shoot and you zoom in, the bullets, it's like all over the, it's like, it's kind of like out of, it's like very random. It's not like where you point.
Hey, that is a feature, not a bug. Bullet spread is a thing that you have to learn to control.
I know, but there's a new thing that they did.
Oh.
There's a new thing where if you're pointing at something, it will go directly to that. It's not like, let's say you're pointing at something and it's not going to go around and then the target. It's going to go directly to the target. Like it's something that we haven't seen at all. Like we're so used to of the like automatic shots, but around that area now is directly to the target. I think that's really, really cool.
I'm a little concerned about that, but okay.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
All right.
Another one that I like is, let's say there's a truck. You climb to the truck, you peek and you shoot. Now you could do that. Now what? Could just be hanging and shooting like that too. What happened with that?
All of these things point to cheese opportunities, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll let it play out. They know what they're doing.
And this is another one where, Reed, you and me have been going back and forth about this for years.
Mm-hmm.
For years. It's the prestige system.
Oh, yeah.
There's a new thing in there, too, that I'm like, I like that. So there's two ways how to prestige now. There's one way where... the normal way where everything is reset, so you get a percentage, like extra experience points, you get like a bunch of other stuff if you're reset. But there's people like you that don't like to do that, right? So there's another one where you can still prestige and you don't reset. The only difference is all the stuff that the bonus and everything, you will not get that. But maybe the first round you say, you know what? I want to do that. I want to prestige, reset everything. The next time you prestige, you could go back and be like, you know what? I don't feel like prestige. And now you pick the other one. So you could turn whatever you want or continue to like the way how I do it, reset everything. You could do that and get extra perks out from that. I think that's pretty good because they see the stats, how many people are like, yo, I'm not going to do that. I'm keeping my weapons.
There's a reason a lot of people just don't play any roguelites no matter how good they are.
Yeah,
they don't want to lose everything.
I think that's good. Give the player a choice the way how they want to play. And I think this is a good feature that they changed. I think that's great.
All right.
I think that's great. What do you think about that for you, for a person that never breathes prestige at all?
As the most reluctant prestiger in our friend group, mm-hmm. I think it's great. I think player choice is always the right choice. I am curious to know how seriously people are going to take it. Like, if there's a difference, you know what I mean, visually? Like, is anyone going to be like, oh, you're a fake prestiger? Not that it matters at all.
It doesn't matter.
To most humans.
It doesn't matter. I think that doesn't matter. Yeah.
Just curious. But and to see what the rewards are for the full classic prestige, like to see if they warrant dangling that carrot a little bit further out and if people will grab it. Because sometimes the idea of prestige is great, right? It's like, okay, I get more progress. I get to, you know, check all the boxes all over again. That's really motivating. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have to lose your favorite loadout in the process, even better. I know in the previous Call of Duty that we played, you know, Black Ops 7, I really appreciated that you get one permanent unlock every time you prestige. And then it's like, okay, so I'm slowly building out my go-to kit that I can have, even if I prestige in the future, it's still unlocked and available to me immediately after prestiging. I wonder what that carrot they're dangling is going to feel like if I could just prestige and not lose anything. You know what I mean? Like, is it going to be valuable enough to me as a player to make it worth it to, okay, maybe I'll try it this time. You know what I mean? So we'll have to see. I'm curious to find out how all of this changes feel once we get our hands on it.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I think it's cool. I like it. I like it so far. And you know, we got to play for a couple hours, actually. We got to play multiplayer.
I'm so jealous.
Multiplayer. So one of the things that we tried out was a team deathmatch. We also did the, which one is the one that you, there's like the A, oh my God, the A, B, C.
Control?
Was it control? I think it was control. I think it was control that we did. We did that. We also did a gunfight, which is cool. Oh,
gun game?
The gun game, yeah, but it's called gunfight.
Oh, okay. Where it change, does it change every time you get a kill or an elimination?
Well, this one, what I like about is everybody has the same weapons, right? But what changes is the map. The map changes every time. So it's never the same. So every time there's like a new round, the map changes. And it's like a good size map for whatever the amount of people are going to be playing. I think that's, I was like,
wait, I'm confused because in a normal matchmaking lobby, that happens every game. It changes every time you start a new game.
What the Well, this one, it has like around 500 different combination of like how the map changes. Like one side would change, the other one like will be different.
Parts of the map itself
Parts of the map, yes. Parts of the map changes. Yeah,
whoa,
it's
okay.
I'm like, so every time we played it, it didn't feel the same. I'm like, I did terrible on that mode. Terrible. Because
that's
going to
favor the people who can really just like adapt on the fly. Because I know for me and I know for you, it takes us a while before we learn the map, right?
Yeah. No, and the reason why it was terrible for me was because sometimes you know, everybody get random weapons. So sometimes I'll get a knife and I use my fist, or I'll use a shotgun, which I don't like using shotguns in the game. So, like, it changes, but everybody will have the same. So far, the mode that we played, everybody had the same weapons, and it was driving me insane. I'm like, no, I like to pick my type of weapon because I know how I, you know, how the way how I play. So, yeah, I did terrible on that one. But everything else, like team deathmatch, control, like, I did phenomenal. I was, like, killing it, right? So we were going back and forth. Like, sometimes our team won and the other team won. It was good. A good balance and everything. And it played good. Like, I'm very excited to actually play the full version of this game. I like the changes that they made. I'm very curious about the story, you know, in Korea. And I think this is good, man. I think this is really, really good, man. Honestly, like, I could see us playing this for a very, very long time. I mean, we do that every year with Call of Duty. We play for months.
Faithfully.
But Yeah. But I think they did a pretty good job with so far with everything. Again, we didn't get to see the Nintendo Switch 2 version at all. It was just PC. We were using the PlayStation controllers. That was all connected on PC.
How did it feel with the PlayStation?
It was good. I prefer the Xbox controller. That's the way how I like to play first-person shooters like that. But it was good. I got used to it like right away. You know, it wasn't.
Were there any features like with the dual edge?
No.
Dual sense,
it's sorry. No. There was no nothing new. I mean, still early. Remember, it's a very early game.
Early build,
but we'll get to see more hopefully during Gamescom and hopefully closer to the launch.
Yeah, well, it'll have a lot of interesting competition this fall. A very stacked calendar, but yeah, I'm really excited we're gonna spend so many nights playing this game. Let's be real.
It's gonna be chaotic, man. Chaotic. Yeah. Now, my question to you, as a fan of Call of Duty, which one of the ones that stood out to you out of all the things that that I talked about so far? Do you be like, oh, you know what? That's pretty good.
You know what? It's probably gonna be a controversial take, but I think the Nintendo Switch 2 version launching day and date is going to bring in such an interesting element of like, I want to know who has these Switches, right? Because we see 20 million is a big number, right? Recently, we just saw they upped their estimates for how many they're going to sell by the end of 2026. So like, that's a ton of players. And third party on Switch is getting really, really good. You know, like I know you have been playing like games like Pragmata or like Resident Evil on your Switch, and it looks phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
And there's even more coming. And so I'm really curious to see, does that bring in a new player base with a different behavior in matchmaking? Because is it younger kids? Is it college people? Is it us? like who has all these Switches, and are they going to buy it? Obviously a lot of them will, but like, how are they going to come to Call of Duty? Has it been a while since they played a Call of Duty? Like I just want to know that player profile and how that's going to mix it up when we're matchmaking, because as you know, the Call of Duty player base can be a little colorful and maybe a bit foul-mouthed, and maybe some poor behaviors have been reported over the years. Mm-hmm. I'm glossing over some really terrible things, but
that's all good. That's all good.
No shade to Infinity Ward or Call of Duty. Like a lot of people who play it are toxic AF, and I want to know, is that Switch 2 audience going to be super wholesome and cancel all that out? Because that would be really fun. I would like that. That'd be a positive outcome. Or are they going to just come in as as we've called it before, Christmas noobs? The people who get the game a few months after it comes out and they don't know what to do, and we're just owning them every match. Like, what's it going to be? You know, I want to know that Switch 2 audience. I'm very curious.
I am very pumped. Very pumped to try the Switch 2 version. I am very excited to try it. I know a lot of people don't believe this, but I played a lot of Black Ops 2 on the Wii U.
I haven't played a lot of online on the Switch, aside from like Animal Crossing and Pocopia.
Well, no, you played Mario Kart.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I did a lot of Mario Kart, but not a ton of public Mario Kart.
I'm thinking what other games that you play on Switch 2 online besides Mario Kart?
Switch 2 is a Hades and...
Yeah, yeah. It's like more like single player experience.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. This could be your next one. This could be your next one then.
It could. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see which one I prefer, because as I said before, and I didn't really dig into it, UI on a small screen is tricky, right? There's a lot of accessibility considerations that have to be made, because, you know, your mini-map, your reticle, the name of the gun that pops up, everything in the menus has to be legible. And on those smaller screens, like, there's no way around it. It's just smaller text. Sometimes I know, at least at home, even on our screen, on the big screen, I enlarge my text on Black Ops 7 and it messes up the UI. It messes up the layout a little bit.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they implement that.
Yeah. They added that because of the Xbox Ally and Steam Deck. What's the Steam Deck? And other handhelds, where Treyarch was the one that did that, where you could increase the text. But you're right. Like, the UI gets a little bit weird. Like, you'll
see
it.
It throws it out of alignment quite a bit.
Yeah, you'll see it. It just looks weird, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and that was something I forgot to ask Infinity Ward, the dev team, about that, you know.
Well, I know they have really great consultants working on it, and lots of learnings from from Treyarch, as you said. So
yeah,
we'll see how they do launching that one.
Yeah, but we were at the event and it was very positive. Like, everybody really enjoyed playing the new Call of Duty. It was really good. We liked the presentation was good. There's one more mode. There's three modes that we actually got to see were there. One, I can't really say anything. I can say only the name. But
what is it? What's the name?
Hold on. There's campaign. There's multiplayer. And there one more called DMZ. And I'm going to leave it just that.
Can I guess what it says? What it stands for?
I'll leave it as that.
Okay. I think that's, I know what it is.
You do your research.
Blank, blank, blank.
But yeah, I just want to say once again, thanks to Activision, Step 3, PR, everybody over there for giving me the opportunity for this. You know, usually I get to see stuff like this, like Summer Game Fest, Xbox Game Showcase. But, you know, getting this way before the actual shows or events that they have in the future, it's a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, you can really focus in on it. Talk to a super nerd like me.
Yeah. Yeah, and now hopefully Reed will get an opportunity to get the chance to play this game early too. That would be cool.
Can't wait to get my hands on it. Once again, a shout out to the team at Infinity Ward and for carrying on after losing an incredible leader. It's commended all of the hard work they're doing, and hopefully we do Vince proud.
Definitely. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening or watching Gamertag Radio. And we'll be back next time with more content. Actually, we're going to get together with Paris because he's back. Hopefully P2. And there's a lot of things to talk about. Lots of things. Hopefully we could do that very soon. So stay tuned, everyone. Until next time, we're out. Take care. Bye.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save